guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, where this week we are going to be talking NWA WCW Saturday Night on TBS from July the 19th of 1986. We're steaming, rolling, right going through the Great American Bash in 86. It's heating up. We're on the brink of Dusty versus Flair for the gold, for the 10 pounds of gold. The only world title, the only wrestling world title, pro wrestling world title that ever mattered to us three. And with that said, I want to welcome in my illustrious co-hosts, Hardbody Harper and Doc Turner. Doc, how you doing tonight, man? You want to shout out all the Docaholics as we get started?
I beat off twice today just to get ready for this special edition of the show.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's good to see that you listen to the Ric Flair 30 for 30.
What do you think I'm going to do, pal? I had 10 beers earlier today and 5 mixed drinks, and I beat off twice and started in on my 10,000 women. Of course, I want to say hi to the Docaholics, but I'm going to speak directly to them in just a minute. Maybe you should go ahead and bring in Harper, because he'll want to get in on this shit, too. I've got some shit to say.
Yeah. Oh, God. Doc is very salty. Hashtag salty Doc for those of you out there. It's coming. I already got a heads up about this. I may have to do some editing. But, Harper, before we get to Doc and his saltiness, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. You know what you missed Saturday?
I heard I missed a hell of a show.
You missed Sam Houston fucking wrestling.
Oh, he wrestled?
Yeah.
Was Rod there?
No, Rod... I messed his back up. Okay. He was supposed to. But Sam was there, and I think he's going to wrestle. And he tagged with Danny Flamingo, and he was running around all over the place, dropped toe hold and doing spots and headlock takeovers and a whole 9 yards. I was like, God damn.
Sam's still going.
Yeah. It was like 1985.
Let's be real. Rod didn't hurt his back. He thought Menace was going to be there, and he's like, oh, shit, I can't handle that. I'll just stay home.
I talked to him last week on the phone, and he said something about, he was like, I'm thinking about doing a show or two. I'm like, what the hell are you going to do with your back, man? He's like, brother, I can't say nothing kayfabe right now, brother, but. I was like,
these old timers.
I was like, bro, you're knowing me for over 20 years. You trying to work me? What the fuck you doing, man? What's going on? So I didn't know. I was like, I didn't ask him. I didn't go like, you doing something with Wildcat or what? But, yeah, his back, that figures. I mean, he's messed up, but whatever. So, good show then.
Month.
What's that?
They're going to be around y'all next month.
What, Sam and Rod?
Yeah.
Does that mean they're coming to the BTT Christmas party? What the fuck?
Oh, God. I don't know if they'll be able to hang, man. I don't know if they'll be able to hang. Those old timers can't go like they used to. But whatever. Harper, sounds like it was a good card overall.
Damn right it was. And Sam's got a comedy CD too. Bro. He comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, you like to laugh?" I was like, "What?
Are you hitting
what
on
do you
me?
Have, Sam?" Like, I mean, the comedy CD. I was like, all right.
Okay. Let's move on. We got a lot to cover. We also want to do something special for the Ric Flair thing tonight. It won't be on this episode, but we're planning on it. So we got a lot to get through tonight. So on the heels of Sam Houston's comedy CD, I can't even keep straight face. Former NWA Mid-Atlantic champion. Got a comedy CD out. Sam, I never took for the comedy type, although he was funny sometimes in the back. Doc, you want to air out some grievances? Or what's going on, man? You've been bitching and complaining and moaning all week since, I think, Monday when we talked.
Well, and I probably need to pare this down to the docaholics, which isn't paring it down much at all, because everybody knows that most of our audience are docaholics. Man, I was listening to the J.J. Dillon show from last week. Well, I don't know when it was from, to be honest. But, you know, are they going to do a show? Aren't they going to do a show? Did 18 shows get them all tuckered out or what? And they start in with some yahoo from Mississippi that's talking about, I really appreciate your show because you don't use foul language. Like,
yeah,
the
I was thinking the same thing. I was listening to the same thing.
Motherfucker. And then JJ goes, yeah, we want to be classy. Were you classy when you took off your shoe and you hit Baby Doll with it?
That's a word.
Were you Well, here's the thing, pal. If he wants to be classy, he needs to go back to his birth name of James Morrison. If he's going to be the J.J. Dillon show.
Oh, okay. Now I got a flow.
We want to hear the
rap on J.J. Stop
right.
Shitting on J.J. Come on.
Well, his little flunky's co-host in there as well. Look, pal.
Oh, Jesus.
If you want raw, real, docaholic talk, we're going to be filthier. We're going to be nastier. More titties, more ass, more jizz.
That's nice.
That's our promise to you.
We're not a Two Live Crew.
You go somewhere else for your classy talk. You come in here, you lock in, and we're going to be just as nasty and just as filthy and just like you as we always are. That's our promise to you. That's the BTT seal of approval, the seal of quality.
Here's the problem. You're attacking JJ. Man, leave JJ alone. JJ ain't got nothing to do with this. JJ Dillon has nothing to do with this. So just leave him out of it. Now, Harper, it sounds like you heard this too and you kind of popped on it.
Well, I was thinking, but you know that guy probably listens to Jim Cornette too. You know? If he listens to JJ, he probably listens to Cornette too. I mean, he cusses like crazy too.
He cusses more than we do.
I have been on the fence a time or two about wanting to like tone it down, but here's my problem.
It's hard,
and I'm not gonna attack whoever this guy was emailing JJ. Here's my thing about cursing. I don't have as much as a motherfucking speeding ticket on my record. I ain't never been to jail. Never did a fucking drug in my life. The only thing I've ever done is drink Hennessy and Crown Royal in large quantities from time to time. So
you've driven while being black.
Oh, God. So I have a problem for people that judge other people on the language they use, because language are nothing but it's only a word. It's how you use the word. I say motherfucker a million times in my life, but I've never said or used motherfucker like fuck that motherfucker, I'm gonna kill that motherfucker, unless your name's Triple H. I shouldn't have said that. Cease and desist. So, but my point is, it's a freaking word. Like, people who judge people on language, it's like, dude, life ain't that serious, man. Calm down. So we're talking classic wrestling. We got Ric Flair talking about last night he banged 10,000 broads and he beat off twice a day on top of drinking 10 to 11 beers a day and 7 or 8 cocktails a day. This is Southern wrestling. Southern wrestling was nasty. I mean, do I have to break it down for you any further than that? So
you don't.
I know
some
people.
Here's the thing. You don't. For the docaholics, they already know what they signed up for. And that's why I love you just as much as you love me.
I'm just a foul-mouthed son of a gun. I'm always going to be that way. I'll never apologize for it. Some of the best people I know on this planet curse like sailors and they don't have criminal records. I know plenty of people who look, man, I'm a believer in God. I know plenty of people who praise the Lord, church every Sunday. Criminals to the day they die. So, and that's not all church-going folks, because like Harper says, you know, Harper wants to go to church. He just got shit to do. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you know. But anyway, let's get into Saturday night.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. So, obviously, as you can hear, BTT runs off of a different business model. So, since we're not going to have any advertisers, the best way that you can keep us afloat is to become a patron. Mike, tell them how they can become a patron.
Yeah. Just go to tinyurl.com/BTTpatron, get access to all those patron episodes, access to hopefully be able to come on a show, cut a promo, even though it seems like everyone so far loves us and no one wants to cut a promo on Doc or myself or Harper. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Hey, to switch things up real quick before we get into Saturday night. Somber shout out this week, but I want to wish BTT listener, supporter, and patron Gerald Green's father the best as he battles cancer. I've been in touch, I've been touched by cancer, having lost my dad to it back in 2008 from it after a terrible 18-month battle. So I just want to say, Gerald, we're pulling for your pops. So if you're out there, go follow Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Green III. His pops is battling cancer. His pops is an Army veteran. I want to wish him the best. Good luck. Send him your positive vibes, positive well wishes, whatever it is. Please do so. And Gerald, thank you as always for being a patron. But more than anything, man, I hope your pops beats this thing and comes through clean with a clean bill of health. Now, let's get into this thing. We got NWA WCW Saturday Night from July the 19th of 1986, sponsored by the Wrestling Palace. Go check out my buddy Arturo on Facebook. Just search the Wrestling Palace on Facebook. Hook him up, you know, call him, see what he's got. He's got all kinds of wrestling memorabilia. If you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, look him up and go to his store. Let's get into this thing, man. Doc, we are not in studio again, and I got to say, I'm enjoying the non-studio on the road, Saturday night. Harper, are you?
Bro, this shit is spoiling my ass. This is like having one of them rear view cameras in your fucking car. This is great. Fuck that mirror. this is like a whole new world.
Bruh, it's not. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the matches on this one aren't all that great. But we close things out on Hotter Than Six Suns. But yeah, it's a good look. Doc, what were your thoughts on the look of the arena? We're in Columbia, South Carolina, by the way. I believe in the Township Auditorium.
Well, when you watch this shit, it makes you understand why the old guys are so fucking bitter now.
Yeah, because everybody's into it. We'll get into it. Let's save it.
Everybody was making money and banging bitches and boozing it up and having the time of their life, and then we went and ruined all that shit.
Amen, brother. Amen. So, well, we get into this thing, and, you know, here's the thing. First match up, it is Don Kernodle versus Golden Terra. Long match. Gotta be honest, not very entertaining. Go ahead, Hulk.
It went a hell of a lot longer than I thought it was going to go.
Jesus.
It was long, dude. It was like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
10 minutes. Kernodle does win with a top rope clothesline. Doc, your thoughts on it?
No, I'm going to pass.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You told me to start trying to be more positive. So in lieu of that, I'll just pass.
Okay. Harper, so I'll keep it moving. Well, here's the thing. We're on the road, or we're in the arena, and we got a surprise because I'm not even going to tell you. I'm just going to hit the play button, and this is the first promo, and let's hear what's going on here.
All right, thank you, Tony Schiavone and David Crockett. It's great to be here with you on World Championship Wrestling, and let me welcome our co-host, Jim Cornette. Jim, I got to say this. Everywhere I see you and every time I see you, I see this big man Bubba right here
big
with
Bubba
you.
Why, Rogers, Bubba? Big Bubba, no trouble, and I'm going to talk to some of my friends today on the program, Bob Caudle, but I'm also going to talk to one guy who's not my friend, Dusty Rhodes, American Dream, the modern-day John Wayne. You have, in the recent past, found out how indestructible, how invulnerable, how unstoppable Big Bubba Rogers is. Big Bubba Rogers is the toughest, the roughest, the meanest man in the face of the earth. And let me tell you that, you know, Bubba comes from a bad neighborhood. As a matter of fact, in Bubba's neighborhood, you go in a restaurant, on the menu they got broken leg of lamb. As a matter of fact, in the autumn, in Bubba's neighborhood, the leaves don't fall off the trees, they commit suicide. As a matter of fact, in Bubba's neighborhood, the muggers, they don't use a gun, they insert the bullets manually. And Dusty Rhodes, you have found out now how bad Big Bubba is. You tried Big Bubba and you couldn't do nothing with him. And I'm going to say this, he told me and he told Mama, because he still gives a regular report to Mama, He said, you know something? I don't like that Dusty Rhodes very much anymore. It's starting to get a little personal. And Dusty Rhodes, pretty soon, it may come down to the fact that the world of professional wrestling is not big enough for you and Bubba at the same time. And Big Bubba, he ain't no professional wrestler, so he don't do things the way that you're used to having them done. He'll get you one way or he'll get you another. But mark my words, he'll get you. And baby doll, that big fat pig that's always following Dusty Rhodes around, well, she's going to have a big flat pig snout by the time that the American Bashes are over with in Atlanta, Fulton County Stadium on August the 2nd. I promise you that, because baby doll, one way or another, few punches don't a war win. You're going to be mine, darling, all night long, as my good friend Rick says.
All right, and fans, we'll be right back.
Bob Caudle in the house, Doc.
Oh, yeah, that was a pleasant surprise right there. You notice they were all wearing like a white suit or some shit? I was like, Jesus Christ, what kind of Miami Vice bullshit is this?
Yeah, they were. I thought the promo was kind of mild. What did you think, Hopper?
Yeah, I mean, he just hit the PowerPoints and told you, you know, what you needed to know, and that was it.
And it wasn't so much as a promo as much as it was... That's the opening, like, of them on the show. Like, they didn't really have an opening, so like they normally do. So there was a difference there with that. But, Doc, anything else from you on that one?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I liked about that is when he said that Bubba's not a wrestler, that automatically sets it up so that if Bubba's green in the ring with Dusty, there's a reason for all that. He's just a fighter, a mauler. He's a bad dude. He's not a wrestler.
Yeah, and I think we kind of got a hint of that, too, when he was clocked with the chair and it just shattered across his head and...
He pulled a Killer Kyle and said, nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, for real. But I did have a Smoky Mountain flashback as soon as I saw those two together. Good old Bob Caudle. But anyway, so we keep going. We got the next matchup. It's the Warlord versus Vernon Deaton. Warlord he's very robotic. He wins quickly. You know, he's a hired gun to combat Big Bubba, if you really think about it. He's with Baby Doll for that reason. Other than that, I didn't have anything. Hopper, you?
No.
Okay. Doc, you?
He doesn't look very flexible.
No,
he's. I said that last week. He's stiff.
He's like a tree.
Right.
He's like the one. He's like that one action figure you had when you were a kid, or your toys that wouldn't bend. You're like, shit, this thing won't do anything.
He's like the Kmart one.
Yeah.
No, Hopper. He's like the LGN figures.
Yeah.
Them things didn't move. They were just big rubber dudes. I mean.
Yeah.
It was like.
I've always wondered how much money they made off those fuckers, because it's a piece of fucking rubber. With shitty paint on it.
The paint came off.
Yeah. Okay, how much money did it cost to make that shit?
I don't know, man. It couldn't have cost much. I mean, they didn't spend a lot on that. You know
fuck
that.
No.
The AWA figures were better to me because they were flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You could do things with them. But, oh, well. Okay, let's keep moving. Next up, we got Arn Anderson. Let's hear from Arn, man.
I'm here at ringside with Ole and Arn Anderson. And guys, you know, Arn, you're embroiled in a match with the Rock and Roll Express trying to prove who's the number one contender for the tag team title. And I got to say this, I recognize your ability. You deserve to be in contention for the world tag team title. The Rock and Roll Express doesn't.
Well, Jimmy, thank you very much. But when you're trying to determine a number one contender for anything to do with tag team wrestling, and your name's Anderson, you're the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, it's automatically understood you are the number one contender. So we've established that going in. But what we're talking about is the last bash, Fulton County Stadium, on the 2nd, August 2nd. We're talking a bunkhouse match, which means anything goes, Rock and Roll Express. That means the Andersons can do, if we want to take our cowboy boot, take this heel, grind it in your forehead, look around out back somewhere, find a piece of lead pipe, use it on the back of your head. That's what we can do. Just remember one thing, Rock and Roll Express. The Four Horsemen do what they want to do without the NWA's consent. This time they've given us our consent, so what that means, you give us a license to steal, that's exactly what we're going to do, is steal.
Only, like I told Arn, the Andersons are legends in tag team wrestling. If anybody deserves to be up there in contention, it's you guys.
No, we don't deserve to be in contention. We deserve to be the champions. And I'll tell you what, we're looking at that number one contention as a first step. And I want you to take a look at the second step. Bunkhouse match. How stupid can the rock and roll people be? I tell you, Robert Gibson and that Ricky Morton, they had a lobotomy or something, because they've gone into a match where there are no rules. and the Andersons might cheat? Well, of course we're going to cheat. Here, you don't call it cheating, though. You call it a bunkhouse match. Anything goes. Gibson, Morton, you better have your insurance paid up, have an ambulance sitting out there. We're just dead serious, and you just might end up part of that in Fulton County Stadium.
Let's go to the ring.
That's how you fucking do it, pal.
Of course we're going to cheat.
I got to ask Harper a question before we analyze this promo. Harper, what the hell did Ole... What was he carrying? What was that?
Part of it, you know, it fucking looked like a piece of a...
hospital card or some shit.
Right. Yeah, like the gurney.
I don't know what something. That was.
What was on his shirt? What was on his shirt?
It was, let's see.
Evil, mean, and nasty?
Nasty, yeah.
I don't, that all my note was, holy shirt is fucking fantastic, but I watched this 6 days ago, so I couldn't remember what it said.
Yeah, it says evil in white, mean in red, and nasty is in white. And it's that old school, like, iron-on letters, because that's all you had in the mid-80s. You didn't have the fancy stuff we got now with the screen print. But it was awesome, Doc. I loved it. In the promo. I mean, the promo, Doc. What did you think?
Well, of course we're going to cheat. And, you know, we don't care what the NWA says, but this time it's legal. Dude, and the only thing that's a little suspect, but I understand why you got to let it go, is Corny standing there like trying to give them the, oh, I like you guys. But then they're turning around going, we should be the champs. And Corny's like, I'm the champ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, this shit's setting up something that for the end of the show that's just lights out, pal.
Yeah, agree. Harper, anything else from you?
I was thinking, isn't it kind of weird what they want what the Midnight Express have? You know, the fucking
yeah, and
belt.
and back then you didn't really see like heel versus heel, so
yeah,
they really I agree, but it's funny because, bruh, they're talking about here they go again. They don't care, they don't give two shits. Arn's got a boot. That's one thing to hit somebody with a boot, and then he's talking about grabbing a pipe and laying somebody out with a pipe. And we're going to do it without the NWA's consent. Well, no shit. I mean, you can't just bludgeon somebody with a pipe. But I tell you what, when you watch that, even now, 31 years later, I sat there and went, those two sumbitches mean business. Mm-hmm. They ain't playing. And that, like, it comes through the TV at you. That was my main note. So, Ole's lying, Doc and Harper. He told the Rock and Roll, make sure you got your insurance policies paid up.
He also called them the Rock and Roll people.
Yeah, like who the fuck are you?
He sounded like he was 112 years old.
Yeah, those damn Rock and Roll people.
Those Bill rock Poppers. And rollers, that newfangled music. Pal, it's been around for 35 years.
With their hair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep moving. Next match.
Ole is the wrestler most likely to tell you to get off his lawn. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. He might not even tell you. He just might throw a brick at you and hope you get the message if it misses you.
You might get a warning shot from the front porch.
Right, right. The next match is Crusher Khrushchev versus Todd Champion. It's competitive, I'll say that, but Khrushchev wins with the Russian sickle. Harper, did you have anything from it?
It was nice to see him work his arm. It made sense.
Yep.
Todd Champion. He was the guy with the fireman and the soldier and all, huh?
I don't remember.
In the early 90s?
The Firebreakers?
Something like that.
Was that
like
them?
The Patriots. Like, one of them was a soldier, and the other one was a fireman.
Oh, man, you're educating me. You got to remember, early 90s, I kind of started, I checked out for a little while.
You were down there trying to
I was looking for the next Sasha Banks. I mean,
You were talking to LaQuanda down at the SWAT
meet. Nice. That's real nice.
We know about you.
Yeah.
That's nice. I'm not sure, Harper. One of the loyal hashtag BTT Army listeners on at BTT underscore podcast will chime in. I'm not.
Well, don't chime in unless you're a patron. And if you're not a patron, maybe you should become one.
God, I thought you were about to do something else there. Doc, what did you have from the match? Anything?
Oh, not a damn thing.
Okay, I figured that. Well,
So right after that, we got.
I'll be honest. I'm not really here to talk about Saturday night. I'm here to talk about one thing and one thing only.
What's that?
Ric Flair, dude.
Oh, he's trying to get. He's trying to mail in the regular episode yeah. today for the Ric Flair episode. So let's get to the next promo. Damn, Doc. Let's get to the next promo. We got Dusty with Baby Doll, who was on the Ric Flair 30 for 30 last night. Here's the promo.
Fans, here they are, the American Dream and his beauty, Baby Doll. Dusty, looks like it may come down to you and that world champion.
You know, Bob Collins, she is a beauty. And Jim Cornette's finding out what kind of beauty she is. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. You know, anytime you put anybody in a steel cage of any kind, for any reason, it's risky business. When you put the world's heavyweight champion, Dusty Rhodes, in a steel cage, that's riskier business. Let me tell all the skeptics in television land, all the senators and mayors and governors throughout this country right in, Dusty Rhodes want to make personal appearances. I don't need to make personal appearances at this point in time in my career. I am on the top of my game. I'm on the prime of my game. I ain't passed nothing up, baby. And I ain't gonna pass this up. They gonna construct with handmade materials the steelest cage in the history of the world. And they gonna take the two greatest premier athletes in professional wrestling and they gonna put it inside. And Jim Crockett and Bob Geigel are gonna put up that $40,000 piece of gold just to find out if I'm really on top of my game, just to find out if I am in my prime, just to find out if Ric Flair is just plain lucky. Being world's heavyweight champion takes a mighty great man. Being able to keep it for a period of time takes even a greater man. To hold it twice, as Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, has, we don't have to talk about kind of man I am, do we, Doll?
Yes, sir.
We know, baby. So, on top of my game, if you will, in the prime of my profession, if you will, when Reggie steps up and hits one about 900 feet, and all them kids just watch him say, someday, I'm going to be like the Reds. Well, in wrestling, they say, someday, I may be like the Dream. Because in the cage, I will take the world's heavyweight title for the third time. And then the senators, the governors, the doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs will say, Dusty Rhodes, woo, he's in his prime, Daddy. He's in his prime.
All right, the American Dream. Fans, right now, let's go back to the ring.
I love Bob Caudle. Let's go back to the ring. Harper, what'd you think there?
I was kind of lost in it. When you talk about people hitting him up, wanting to meet him, like the governors.
He was just rambling right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was just kind of, it seemed like he was just rambling.
Yeah. I think he got the point across about the cage match coming up with him and Flair,
yeah.
But he did that. He did a little rambling there, yeah. Anything else, Harper?
No. Move on to Doc.
Doc, what's up? Anything? What'd you have?
It's weird because, like, the Reggie Jackson thing was kind of odd. I guess he was trying to make the thing that Reggie wasn't past his prime, but Reggie was in the second to last year of his career right there, so he kind of was past his prime. I also like the fact that, because Dusty's been there and done it, when he, a lot of this was eh. But when he talks about the fact of how great you got to be to win it, he's the only guy other than Rick there that knows that. So there's a believability to that.
Yeah, that's true because I think up until right this point right here, I want to say Rick's like 700 days into his title run or something. It's some ridiculous
Damn.
Number. It's yeah, trust me on this. That
means he's jerked off 1,400 times.
Fuck.
He's had it for a while at this point. So, he's had the title for a little while. So, yeah. I mean, look, Dusty's promising he's going to win the NWA title in the cage, and that's what I took from it.
The steeliest of cages.
The steeliest of cages, yeah. But I love Dusty with the riskier business. The riskier business. Damn, that used to get me. So, Next matchup is Nelson Royal versus Mitch Snow. Nelson Royal wins in an uneventful match. I'm going to assume no one's got anything from that because it really
was uneventful. Oh, hold on.
Oh, shit.
Who was Snow? Who are these guys? Did y'all Google them?
Well, Nelson Royal is the Hardbody Harper of the NWA.
That's nice.
You know, you don't even know why.
Why are you saying that? I mean, I know who Nelson Royal is, but why are you saying he's the Hardbody Harper of the NWA?
Because the motherfucking bell rang for this match, and he was still taking off his jacket and wandering around, and he was late, just like Harper is every fucking week.
Okay. I'm watching Stranger Things, man.
Right. Did you get it? You got into that, Harper?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of people on Twitter hit me up about like shows to watch. I did start Better Call Saul though, and I like it. It's
yeah.
It's pretty good.
You two will watch anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know what?
Almost
I watch?
Said something real Wrestling. Classy to you. Almost said something real, real classy. But we'll move on. We'll move on from here. Because next up, we got Tully and J.J. Dillon, and they're going to cut a promo. Here it is.
Bubba and I, we've just been talking to Tully Blanchard Enterprises, the administrative director James J. Dillon, and national heavyweight champion Tully Blanchard, and the last great American bash right there in Atlanta could be the best one for you guys, maybe the worst one for Ronnie Garvin.
Well, you know, Jim Cornette, it's going to be the worst one for Ronnie Garvin, old glass jaw Garvin. But you know, I was listening to Dusty Rhodes a few minutes ago, and he wants to take down Ric Flair and take that $40,000 belt. Ronnie Garvin wants to take me down. The Rock and Roll won't take Ole and Arn down. Everybody wants to do something to the Horsemen. Well, that's fine. You keep talking, and your people keep crawling in the ring, and the Horsemen are going to keep walking out with all the glory. Because that's the way it is. Ronnie Garvin, you got on national TV and you started screaming and hollering, you're going to knock Tully Blanchard out. You're going to teach him how to fight. You're going to teach me everything. Well, Ronnie Garvin, I'm still out here on national television and I'm still holding the National Heavyweight Championship. And you know, Ronnie Garvin, I'm still smiling. I got all my teeth. I'm not all beat up and ugly, no broken noses. So that hands and fists of stone of yours ain't quite getting the job done. But you know, you... Where are you at? Little hurt here, little nick here, little crunch here? Well, Fulton County Stadium, Ronnie Garvin, it's going to be your end. It's going to be your Waterloo because I'm tired of messing with you. I'm tired of the risky business boys. I'm tired of Dusty Rhodes' big mouth, Magnum TA doing this, all these guys doing this, and ain't nobody doing nothing. Nobody's getting the job done. It's all a bunch of talk. The Horsemen are where it's at. James J., can you add anything to that?
Well, I think Ronnie Garvin's going to find out that Tully Blanchard has the great American bash punch, because when Tully Blanchard hits him with ordinary tape around his fist, he's going to think that the Sky Jumpers have come through for a second run, but they're going to be the birds you're seeing, and you're going to think the fireworks started early, but that's just going to be the stars in your eyes. That's just how it happens to be.
And we'll be back right after this.
Doc, I'll throw it to you first this time. What'd you think?
Well, I think given the recent bad blood between me and JJ, I won't say anything about that.
Bad blood. JJ don't know who the hell you are. JJ don't have a clue who the hell you are, man. Good lord.
But
you know,
sometimes
you're a mark for yourself. You know that?
Because
you really believe that dude on JJ's show was talking about you.
I have all the docaholics to do that for me. Now,
okay.
You know, Tully cut a hell of a promo right there, though.
That shit was great.
He does that all the time.
It's like, I'm a prick, but I'm still here. You couldn't get rid of me. I got the gold. What you gonna do? You didn't do anything. And it's he's under your skin, but he's got just enough cachet with that belt that you can't say, no, you're wrong, because he's got the gold.
He does it all the time. He said in that one, well, Harper, I'll go to you first, because I got a note that I want to share with both of y'all after we talk about this.
I love how he points out that his punch doesn't do a goddamn thing because he still looks good and he still got the title. So your punches don't mean shit. And there's truth to it. It's true.
Yeah, he's an arrogant prick, and he just doesn't care. And it's like he's this snobbish, arrogant prick. He's an ass. He's like the perfect smug heel. And then he said a line in there that's funny. Everyone wants to do something to the Horsemen. But let me just throw this, you know, stat out there to y'all. Just an observation. This is July 19th into the Bash at this point. No one has taken one belt from the Horsemen yet, pal. Like, Rick still got his, Arn's got his, Tully's got his. Just point that out. So, they talk a lot of shit, but they're backing it up so far. Even though they're cheating, it's booked right. This is great. You had to hate them after the way they talked and treated people usually. So, that's all I had. Harper, anything else?
Nuh-uh.
Doc, you?
Mm-mm.
So after that, there's a Great American Bash update, and they have a replay of Cornette getting decked in the back of the head. My God, he got crushed. Cottle updates us on the Bash. We are told Magnum is currently down 3-0 in the best of seven. And then I am going to play this rock and roll promo, and just pay attention to Ricky Morton at the end of it, because Gibson can't cut a promo. He just can't. But Ricky Morton, just listen to him.
That are going to really have a very busy night in Atlanta on August 2nd. Here they are, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. Robert?
How you doing, Bob? It's all going to start right there at the American Bash, August the 2nd at Fulton County Stadium right there in Atlanta. You know, we got a bunkhouse match with the Anderson brothers, Anderson's cousins, whatever they want to call themselves. It's a bunkhouse match. I saw them guys there earlier. They had a big boot in their hand and something else in the other hand, so they're going to put us out of professional wrestling. Let me tell you something, guys. A lot of men have tried to do that. A lot of guys have failed. Right there in Atlanta Stadium, we're going to show them just what rock and roll is all about, bro.
That's right, Bob. You know, I can't wait to the Great American Bash up there in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, because it is the beginning of the Rock and Roll Express Super Summer Sizzling Tour. And, baby, we're coming to get down. I'm telling you what it's all about. And I can't wait again, because Jimmy Cornette, before too long, baby, the NWA World Tag Team belts are going back around our waist. And the funny thing about it, there's nothing that you're going to be able to do about it. And like you said, Bob, the scissor starts off right there in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, where you see myself and Captain Lewis and the Gator Tail Band as we step on stage, brother, and play some of that good old Southern rock, right along with one of our best friends, Mr. Dave Allen Coe. So Atlanta, get ready, baby, and hold on tight, because we are coming to explode like dynamite.
August 2nd, Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium fans, the Great American Bash. All right, back to the ring.
Am I the only one that caught Ricky there saying he couldn't wait for the Super Summer Sizzling Rock and Roll Tour to begin so he can get in on some high-class red action?
Might as well just name it the Semen Soaking Summer Soiree.
Okay. Harper, your thoughts? Anything there besides what Doc just said?
The guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's there to kick ass. He's there to kick ass, bang some rats, and then sing some Lynyrd Skynyrd shit
with fucking David Allan Coe.
Right? Which Jesus?
I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Hillbilly Jim and the Cooter McGraw Band, or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
Is there any genre of music other than country music, which we're talking about kissing cousins here, that makes you more just tense, Menace, than Southern rock and roll?
I don't want to say tense. It's just I'm like, man.
The Allman Brothers, the Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Molly 38 Hatchet, Special. 38 Special, just really making you feel like you're not welcome at the event.
It's nice, Doc.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody's going to, one of our know-it-all patrons, probably not a Docaholic, is going to go, you need to tell Doc that the Allman Brothers had a black drummer. I already know that, pal.
Hey, Jimi Hendrix was black.
That's not Southern rock, jackass.
And I didn't say it was. I'm just saying.
But I can see how you would think that, being who you are.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know next to nothing about rock and roll. We've been doing this for 2.5 years. You don't say a word about music until you bring up
Jimmy. I like Guns N' Roses.
Slash is half black. There you go. That is nothing to tell me next. Living Color's better than Led Zeppelin?
Yes, I will tell you that.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
I like those dudes, man. I like their
Lenny
music.
Lenny Kravitz reinvented rock and roll.
Nah, I wasn't much of a Kravitz fan.
Well, you don't like Jews, so I can see how you wouldn't like Lenny Kravitz.
What are you talking about?
Kravitz? He's half Jewish.
Jews? Where is that coming from? Love Jews.
He's half black, too.
His mom was the Willises on the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Roxy Roker, dude.
This is going off the rails into a discussion. I really don't. Has nothing to do with.
Well, here's the problem. And here's the problem. We have now just figured out that I am blacker than the Menace.
What the hell? Okay.
I got more soul than the Menace does.
Moving right along. I think at Fake Stan Lane would disagree with you there because he swears up and down the Hennessy juice that I constantly drink is proves exactly what he claims to know what I am based
let
on
me
that.
Give a little let me give a little teaser for what's to come. I can attest that the Hennessy was flowing over at your shack last night because the text messages I was getting during the 30 for 30 got increasingly more scandalous about what you wanted to do to certain people. So
okay, well, I mean, I did send out a tweet to tell Triple H to go fuck himself. Which violated my cease and desist order, but we'll leave it at that. And so I was even called out on it by a few people on Twitter. So let's keep moving. I don't want to get in any more legal trouble here. It's been a while since I had to call my attorney. Next match is Sam Houston versus Tully Blanchard. Now, this was a good old school match. I like this one. Of course, Tully wins, but it was good. And, say what you want about Sam Houston. He's over here. The fans, they're behind him. Tully hits him with the slingshot suplex after a hard-fought match. Harper, any thoughts on this match? Because I got a feeling you kind of would like this one. And I don't know your thoughts, I'm thinking that.
This was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And for a second, I thought he was going to fucking win.
Sam had a real good showing. I mean,
he did.
I agree.
They fucking loved him.
I want to say they gave him about 10 minutes here, and he's over. I mean, the crowd is behind him. They hate Tully. I mean, so, Tully did his job there, but I agree.
Yes.
Doc, you?
This is one of those that you don't have a lot of I don't have a lot of notes on, but if you think about it, this would be better than any match you'd get back in the studio, and it's not the main event on this show. So in and of itself, this match is it's okay, but when it's not the main event of this show, it's like, oh shit, you mean there's more to come?
Yeah. This was good.
It was entertaining because both guys could go. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the main event done in 3 minutes in the studio. I'm really not wanting to go back to the studio, pal.
Yeah, me neither.
I say while they're out on the bash, we go over and sabotage the studio, like set it on fire or some shit. And then they'll just have to stay out on the road and showing us things from around the South.
Okay.
You know what I was thinking?
What's that?
You think one of the reasons why they showed this on television was because WWE had the Saturday night main events were like really hot at that time. Do you think like this was something to like counter that?
I think they were out on the road and the bashes weren't selling and they were like, look how cool it is to come to see this shit.
I think so too, because if you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, Shivani made mention in the show, he's like, the next TV taping has been canceled. We won't have it, but they still have a show the next week. So, I think like Doc said, man, I would love to know the real answer, but I get the feeling you got that different atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. I like the studio. I mean, look, these promos in the studio, not that they're bad on the road because they're still good, but man, you think back to everything to our childhood, man, these studio promos are just ridiculous. But the one thing you don't get in the studio is the energy. You don't get that because you only got 100, 150 people in the studio at the most. So, but at these arenas, I mean, last week we had probably close to 7,000 in Dorton and, This week we got a couple thousand more in a freaking auditorium. So you want that? It generates that excitement, and maybe it'll help. Hey, look what's going on here, man! Y'all got to come out to these big buildings. And I agree with Doc. I think he's spot on with that. But so we'll be back in the studio before long. With that being said, because it's a while before they go back out on the live show. It's where we start doing it not in the studio. Now we got a couple of promos. I'm not going to play. I hadn't planned on it. We got Crusher Khrushchev.
God, thank God.
Wow. You want to tell us how you really feel, Harper?
Dude, that shit was horrible.
It was bad.
The fucking Crusher one?
God.
What's funny about that promo is he blames everyone but the guy he was in the ring with when he blew his knee out, and that's Sam Houston. Like, he's wrestling Sam, but he blamed the Warriors. It's just kind of weird to me, but we'll keep moving. Ronnie Garvin is after that, and to be honest, he cut this same promo in Smoky Mountain in 93 when he said the same thing about Paul Orndorff when he was trying to calm down Tim Horner. Like,
yeah,
he did. It's the same thing. Like, you got to get into their mind. That was my main note. Doc, did you have anything more from that?
You're not supposed to try to tie this shit together, pal.
It's the same promo. He literally cut the same promo. So, Harper, anything about Garvin's?
No, it was the same shit.
So after Garvin is Magnum TA, though. I will play that because if you remember I said earlier, it's 3-0 in favor of Nikita. So Magnum is down. Let's hear
Max what, against what, the wall.
That's right. So let's hear Magnum and what he's got to say.
Fans here win the Magnum TA. Magnum, a lesser man would really be discouraged. He would be down. He'd be ready to give up. I know you're not. But Magnum, the wrestling world is wondering, can you come back down 3-0 to big Nikita Koloff?
Well, of course, Bob Keigel, that goes without saying. You know, I'm no quitter. And the people out there that have been following the bashes that have seen the occurrence of events all know how Nikita Koloff has come to attain all three of these victories. There's nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, for the man to be proud about. And I heard the words of Crusher Khrushchev out here talking about how his comrade was on his way to his highest achievement thus far, the United States Heavyweight Championship. Well, where is Nikita anyways? He's already sitting back planning his future as the United States Heavyweight Champion. He's a long, long way from taking that away from me. Because, see, he made a very, very important mistake. He had me hurt. Had me hurt real bad where he should have finished me off completely. Because I told you as long as I had 1 ounce of breath in my body that I would keep coming for you. Keep coming for you till I took you out. Well, now I'm back 100%. No more injuries. Nothing else holding me back. Nothing between you and I except waiting for that date right there in Atlanta in Fulton County Stadium when you and I meet, when I'll start my comeback, when I'll start working my way back up the ladder, because that's what I'm going to do step by step until I draw it even. And then when I draw it even, Nikita, then I'm going to punish you. Punish you for all the things you've been saying all this time. Punish you for every arrogant word that's ever come out of that commie mouth of yours. Yes, I hold no goodwill towards you. I hold nothing but contempt. And I say it again, as I've said it time and time again. Americans are standing proud and taller than they've ever been. And God bless them. And I'm coming after you to do it my way. Not only are you going to get beat, you're going to get hurt. My style, right there at Fulton County Stadium. That's where it all starts.
And Magnum, all Americans are certainly with you. And fans, let's go to the ring.
Magnum is so good, and I don't even know how, I don't really have anything else to describe it there. He's down 3-0, and he's still coming. He's not giving up. Harper, what did you have from that?
His head looked better.
His head looked remarkably better.
Yes.
The belt sander didn't win this week.
No, and he's fucking down, but not out.
Yeah.
He's not good. Done.
He ain't done. He ain't done. Doc, you?
How many of those Americans that Bob Caudle said all of you are with you, Magnum, are still fighting against Russia, and how many have become comrades with Russia in 2017?
Oh, man, I'm not.
America.
I'm not even gonna dignify that with a response.
So you really mean yet.
No, it's just, you're doing your bullshit politics. You want to get into
politics.
You want to bring politics into something
here,
we love.
Okay,
which is
so
pro
let
wrestling.
Me help you out here.
This is a fucking promo. Magnum's talking about something in 1986. So here, what does this have to do with Russia right now? Shut the fuck up.
Here's where the problem is. I'm going to come back and I'm going to hurt you. How about you show a little bit of humility and that you're going to have to dig down deep and just get one win. I can't think about all four. I can only think about the next one. And then when he gets the next one, they build it back up and go, okay, I'm on my way. There's a story to tell there and they're not telling it right. That's right. I know how to tell it better than the NWA did in 1986.
He's playing heel. I love it. That was good, Doc. I got to give you some credit on that one. I got to give you some credit there. Okay, let's move on.
Sure thing, comrade.
Since you got me all hot and bothered with your bullshit, and then you lay in some more heel work. Good deal.
You know, when you're listening to a classy podcast, you can't just get wrestling. You need to get some politics.
No,
some
you
culture.
Don't. Nobody That's listens where, for politics.
And then we're coming up on Valentine's Day in a couple of months. Harper can give you tips on where to take your lovely special lady.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about what you just said? Somebody's going to take that not even 30-second halfway political rant and think it was a serious discussion and be like, this is bullshit. I don't listen to no more. No, man. We're just playing, man. We're having fun. Okay.
So yeah. You mean I worked them a little bit?
You pretty much, man. Oh man. Let's keep going because there's a Smoky Mountain episode where we really elaborate on that going forward.
Harper and I put out a BTT manifesto on an upcoming Smoky Mountain episode.
Yeah, you really did. Let's keep going. So the match of the hour or 2 hours of this episode is upon us. We got the Rock and Roll Express versus Ole and Arn Anderson. Let me give out a couple of notes, and I want y'all to chime in on things. I got a couple of sound bites I'll play from it too. They're not real long. The first thing, the Rock and Roll Express can't even make it through the crowd to even get to the ring.
Jesus Christ!
They're being raped.
They had sex three times just getting to the ring.
Right. No need to spank the monkey, right, Hopper?
No.
We got like darn near 25 minute match on our hands here. And I hate to say this every week, but goddamn, it's like the fans are at a rock concert. Like, the first 5 to 7 minutes is just Ricky and Robert putting it to Arn, and it's incredible. The fans are just going nuts. You know, it's just hard. I don't even have words for it. It's just like, it's a rock concert. These people are just, they're losing their shit. So, eventually it gets turned around, and then Morton starts taking the heat. Gibson took the heat for a while. Just some incredible stuff. Doc, I'll let you talk. Tell me your thoughts on the match, and then Harper, you give me yours.
Well, first of all, they keep doing the cutaway shots to the crowd. Those people were A, into this whole scene, and B, apparently had got a memo that the Super Summer Sizzlers tour had already started. They were worked up into a lather, pal. And then I'm going to tell you, I kind of forgot I had a show to do this week watching this match, and I just sat there with my mouth open going, this is everything you'd want to see. This is – and then I kept thinking, well, is this going to go off? Holy shit, they're going to keep going. This is going to be all – this is going to be the rest of the show. And you're so accustomed to watching a minute and a half matches or 2.5 minute matches or whatever – and these sons of bitches went to a 30-minute sweat fest draw that was just a clinic for everything you might want to throw into a match to get a crowd that was hot coming in, keep them at a fever pitch, and keep them hooked for next time.
Pauper, what'd you think?
Dude, they sold their asses off.
It's incredible.
Fucking rock and roll. Dude, yeah. This is one of those. This shit fucking really drew me in. I was just watching them sell their fucking asses off, and that crowd was fucking crazy.
Was with them the whole way.
Yep. So it's funny you say that about the crowd. I got a soundbite queued up where they're working the nose on Morton.
Yes.
And just listen to this. Just listen to it.
Tony, boy, things have been happening since we've been on break. Look at it.
David, you knew sooner or later they would go right back to the nose.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the Rock and Roll Express went for the leg of Ole. Right now, the Andersons going after the nose of Ricky Morton. Not that long ago, that nose and the face severely injured.
Referee Tommy Young racing back away. Watch out for Ole. Ole's coming over. Stepping right on the face.
Now, I played it early so that you can hear the crowd.
You need to go back and hold on. You need to go back and check that, because that shit was so crazy that it broke Skype on my end, and it just sounded like a bunch of digitized nonsense.
It sounds like Godzilla is fucking tearing into the building, and they're running for their lives.
Bruh, the trip part is I started it when they were working the face. And then Ole comes over and he puts his boot on Ricky's face and nose and he's smushing it down. And that's when you heard the girls and the people in the building just screaming bloody murder. That's the shrills of noise you heard. Which is, it's just incredible stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. Let me play. I've got another one queued up and you can hear the air come out of the building in this sequence of it right here.
Get over there. Robinson picks up the Rock.
Just couldn't do it. What's he going to do to him?
Trying the elbow. Ricky. Now, sideline block. He did it this time. One, two. Oh, come on. Come on, Tommy.
That was 2 3/4. So close to a three count.
So you hear the crowd there. Ricky hits him with a crossbody, and they go down for the two for the false finish, and the crowd is like, it's about to happen, and then, like the air comes out the building when he doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like somebody got legit hurt, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, man. The match ends in a time limit draw. The Rock and Roll, you know, they have both the Andersons in a sleeper hold, but it was at the time limit draw. Just the psychology threw it all away. It's just so special to see something like this. You know, this is a time period when you didn't see this every week on TV. It meant something. It's just how you booked it. Did I miss anything, Harper?
It's an important lesson of why nobody won and everybody won.
Yes.
It just goes back to what we always
say. No one won, but they still got their shit in.
Bruh, did
they? And the crowd got fucking happy with the double sleeper.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I don't have any other words, man. This was special. This was... Doc, how long did it go?
30, right?
Yeah. It was a time limit draw.
Yeah.
If you use real time, it was about 25, but still, these sons of guns, they did it.
And you know this hillbilly town didn't have any air conditioning in there, so it was a hot summer night in the South. You know what that's like, swamp ass. And these guys are in there. Think about Ole, man. He's in there with a bunch of kids, and he's just out there leading the charge. Jesus, this was just. You said something to me, Mike, that. Stone Cold pushed people to this match back on his podcast a while back, and it's like, well, shit, no kid.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I remember pulling it up and watching it back then. I was like, yeah, this is how you do it. Harper, did I miss anything here?
Fuck no. This is good shit.
Yeah, it was.
And that's a crowd reaction that you just don't hear anymore.
You'll never see it.
Nope. And I was thinking, the last time I heard a crowd something similar to that, it had to be when Hogan came back versus The Rock.
Mm.
That's true.
Was nothing like that.
Well, and that was different too, because in that situation you had like the current icon versus just a legendary figure in the business. And it was just a different dynamic all the way around. Plus, you got to remember that was at Mania. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just a different ballgame.
This was a bullshit Saturday night.
Right. This is.
And we still got some more to go. We still got Dusty and Bruh.
This was a house show, pal.
You better catch your breath.
Yeah. So let's we'll keep moving. Doc, I don't have any notes from Cornette here. Did Corny say anything memorable?
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think he did. He was just introducing the Midnights right here, wasn't he? So after that, though, like Harper just said, Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA versus the Midnight Express. And
did you see those people jumping up and down? Literally jumping up and down.
Let me tell you something, and this is where I am going to bring in politics, but I'm sorry. You're just going to have to sit with me. Oh. I don't give a – shut up. I don't give a shit. If we tell everybody in billboards that wrestling is fake, I think you can still go to the South in 2017 and take the same people that get hoodwinked. And here's the thing. I'll be fair. I'll be fair to everybody now. To get the people that are hoodwinked by all the politics in this country.
Thank you.
And you could have wrestling again. Because there's still a bunch of mark-ass marks running around this motherfucking world. And I think you could have wrestling again. I told Mike this week, I said, if Billy Corgan is smart, he'd go get himself Kevin Sullivan off that damn island out by Seattle. And he'd book heat in the South and go get that money.
Well, you make a point about politics, because I've always said everything's a work, and I think politics is the biggest work on both sides, all three sides, I should say. Every side. I don't even want to give it three sides, but, I mean, all politicians, that's, if you think about a good politician, that's all they do. They sit up there and cut promos. A great politician knows how to cut promos. That's because you're selling yourself. And it's so, wrestling 101. So I agree with you there.
Here's the thing. Everybody in this country is worked up about politics right now, but ain't nobody going to make another dime from it no matter what happens. So what does that tell me? What does that tell me? You're getting worked. So you on that level, why don't we have fun and do this with the rest?
Well, get back to the match, because you were making a point about something with Dusty and Magnum being so over, and then the people are going nuts. Harper's talking about it. You know, they just the building came alive. Where were you going with that? Did I miss something?
People getting all lathered up.
Okay. This is insane. Harper, what were you saying about this?
They were jumping up and down like Jesus was coming.
I guess you're right, man. It's just like...
Yes.
This is hard. Like, these people lost their minds on this
stuff.
And
I'm watching this. I'm like, you will never see this again.
And not even anything that remotely looks
nothing,
like it.
Nothing.
It's gone. That's
gone, and it ain't coming back ever.
Meanwhile, never. You're out there Saturday night busting your ass, risking your ass, and you're just trying to keep them from chanting, "Nothing's boring."
Right.
Shut the fuck
when,
up.
So the Midnights come out in this thing, and then Dusty and Baby Doll and Magnum come out, and they're not fighting through the crowd as bad as the Rock and Roll, but they're still coming through a mass of people. And you're just never going to see that again, because nowadays you come down that ramp and you got, you know, even in ROH, you don't have, you're not,
I've been,
you're close,
I've been
but,
telling you for, I have been telling you forever, that ramp is death. It is awful. And they ought to get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, you could drive a fucking 18 wheeler down that ramp now.
Well, Stone Cold did, actually. So, well, he not down the ramp, but you get my point.
Yeah.
But this was awesome. Now, here's the thing about the last match. It literally starts with like 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes left in the episode. So, you know, we see Corny act like he's going to mix it up with Baby Doll, but he gets the heck out of Dodge. People are going nuts. We see Dusty and Magnum then get the upper hand on the Midnight as we're going off air. Just people going crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It's.
I mean, Baby Doll's got her gear on, bro. She's ready to fucking go.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So I don't have anything else, Doc. You got anything from this segment before we give it a grade and Rolex?
No, I think we should grade it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a first here with the Rolex, and you can throw a flag if you want. How do you not give out a Rolex to the entire tag match with the Rock and Roll versus Ole and Arn? I'm asking. Serious question. Am I allowed to do that? We never set parameters on this stuff, but I feel like all four of those guys need a Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
Harper, what's your vote on that?
I would say that because the fucking Rock and Roll sold their fucking asses off, and Arn and Ole, I mean, they went for his face because they knew they would get a fucking response from it, and it all just worked perfectly together.
You heard the people when they went after his face. Mm-hmm. His nose that had been injured last month, a month ago, a month and a half. Doc, I'll ask you, are you going to throw a flag or what?
I was very tempted to give my Rolex to this crowd.
Oh, everybody.
And just throw it in the crowd and let them all fight over it, and they'll break it and then break each other. And that's what poor people do when you give them the scraps off your plate. But my Rolex was going to the four participants in that match, and I don't see how you could do it any other way.
We've seen a few really good matches.
That's free TV, pal.
Yeah, but that's free fucking TV. That's
in 1986.
Cable TV. It's hard.
I didn't have to buy a ticket. I didn't have to go down to my cable company and figure out how to work that shit out. I just had to turn on the TV and sit the fuck down.
Hey, bro, and back then, like, cable was like $15 a month. And we still didn't have it, Doc.
I didn't get cable until probably 1990.
We were in the 90s, too, because I was in high school. Mm-hmm. but, yes, this was awesome. This was, if anything deserves it, this is awesome, chanted something like that. You know what's funny? Not one dive. Oh. Not one backflip, not one moonsault. Just go out there and make it happen. And there you
Everyone's
have it.
Selling.
And on the other side of that, I tried to watch Ring of Honor this past week, and I flipped through that shit in about 8 minutes because I was like, okay,
well,
I don't care about it. I don't care about any of this.
Cody's promo. That was really good.
That's what I watched, but where was Silas? He's the one I care about because he's the most old school of all of them.
Yeah, Silas is damn good. All right, let's rate it. You go first, Doc. I went first last week.
A plus.
Yeah, fucking A.
Yeah, how do you give it an A? How do you? Yeah. I'm on A plus. I mean, let's be real. We had the Rock and Roll Express and Arn Anderson eat up 25, 30 minutes of time out of an hour and 24 minutes of an episode. Give me an A plus all the way around.
If you're some fucking J-Bron that's down at the damn. Try to figure out what training school, because you want to break into the business. Don't go give somebody all that money. Just watch that match and figure some of that out.
That match is a master lesson in how it was done back in the day.
All you got to do is watch that match and then nail up a string to the door frame and then punch it for about 3 years, and you'll figure out how to throw a good working punch.
Yeah, let's get to that in a second. So
I'm ready now, pal.
We definitely need to do that. I want to throw it over to hold on 1 second. Here's the thing. The holidays are here. Please use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Would appreciate it. Give it to the wives. Give it to the girlfriends. Give it to the family members. Any of your family members that spend money, especially on, obviously, Amazon. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. You know, Black Friday's coming up, man. Plenty of sales out there.
Why's it got to be Black Friday, man?
Because that's what it's called.
Come on, man.
I didn't name it. Retail named it. What do you want me to do? But anyway, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Please check it out and use it. And once again, I want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons, REMiller39, @Justin_Andretti, @JShiny21, @NaturalHacksaw, @ThinManWithin, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, @ShipDaddy32, @USC49ersDodger, @GeraldGreen3rd, @THog94, @SVPajum, @MartinHowell71, @TimOrecchi, @Coldman822, @GobOldUnreal, @UnconvincedRay. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. We definitely appreciate it. Now, I didn't say this at the top of the show.
I'm going to throw it now to a discussion with a buddy of mine. You've heard the Tommy Rich story a few times on this show. Doc has asked me about it. I've talked about it one or two times here or there, I remember. Well, I talked to an old friend of mine who was in the locker room with me the night, as he says, he thought I was about to slap Tommy Rich or punch Tommy Rich in the face, which wasn't going to happen, but whatever. So, if you're a patron, you've probably already heard this because I uploaded it to the patron side. So, again,
is this Rod? Because it's the only guy you know in the business.
Yeah. No, it's not Rod. It's actually someone that Harper, you probably know Sassy.
Sassy Vegas?
Yeah. So, yeah. I call him DB because I always knew him as DB. That was one of his gimmicks. But so Sassy was in the locker room with me when this went down, and I brought him on to tell the story. So we're going to throw it to that right now, and then Doc and Harper and I are going to close out the show on the backside with another very racist David Schultz promo that's very short but very racist.
What about Ric Flair?
We're going to do that in a minute.
What does that mean?
In a minute, yeah. Asshole.
And so it's not part of this show?
No, we're running out of time. Fuck? It's going to be an extra show.
Book an extra show?
It's going to be a bonus show.
Why are we doing that?
So, Harper, hit the tagline.
Here's another great thing about BTC. We have our show prep on the air in front of all of you.
That's right. We pulled back the curtain. Harper, hit the tagline. Get us over to Sassy Vegas talking about the Tommy Rich story.
Book it, bitch.
T, what's up, man? We're live, man. We're on air. You're on BTT finally.
T, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So, fuck it. I don't even remember if I did the intro before I threw us to this part of the show this week. So, hey, background here. So, I think I've told the Tommy Rich story in my eyes about three different times on this show. Two different times for sure, and it's been brought up by a couple listeners here and there. But anyway, we want to get an eyewitness account from not me because, you know, when we tell our own version of a story, we see it from our own eyes. But I'd like for you to tell your version of the story the night Tommy Rich in northern Alabama somewhere in bumfuck Egypt, Tommy Wildfire Rich, former NWA world champion, that is, tried to punk me out and how it went for him.
Whew.
So it's all on you. You know, my version, to recap, was I walk into a locker room. The former NWA world champion is sitting there. I stick my hand out because I was taught from day one, respect not only your elders but everyone. And he blows me off and tells me he's not going to shake my fucking hand, was his exact words, as I recall. I look up, go to turn around, because you ain't about to punk me in front of a locker room full of kids. I respect the fact that you're you're a legend. You've been there, done that, but you ain't just gonna talk to me any certain way. So when he realized it didn't go his way, then it became a joke because he realized he wasn't getting over. But that's just my opinion. Now I'll let you tell it from your eyes in the. I mean, there had to be about 10 people in that room with us, a very small room that realized.
Small.
Yeah, very small. So go
small
ahead, T.
And
for those who don't know, I call T because it's an old story, but his actually wrestling name, he used to rip the roads with me. His name was Sassy Vegas. His name was Devil Boy. He went under a bunch of aliases, but we used to rip and run the roads together in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, you name it, we did it. We're a bunch of no-name independent guys, I guess is the best way to say it. T, the floor is yours, man. Tommy Wildfire Rich. What happened tonight he and I almost got into it?
Okay, first things first. Tommy Rich is awesome. There is no doubt about that. No doubt. There's no doubt. You see how I put that disclaimer out there before
yes.
we even started? Tommy Rich is awesome in every incarnation. Okay? Now, let me set the stage a little bit, okay? So we're working in northern Alabama. And, you know, it's a late 90s independent, like Hartsell, Gadsden, Alabama. They'd run these little towns. You know, they'd bring in Axe, Jake the Snake, you know, just classic, regular 90s independent. Well,
yeah, there was always a name. Like, I know Gang worked a few. I know
It wasn't just Tommy Rich. It was
no,
like you said, Jake
Gilbert
worked,
was there.
Doug Gilbert. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. We had some names. There were names that would. They wouldn't bring them all in, but there would be a few names on each and every card that we worked.
Now, have you described? It's important. Have you described your gimmick to the fine folks and your gear?
Yeah.
Did you describe your gear?
The Book in the Territory listeners at this point who have been with us, they understand the gear was kind of a somewhat similar to like a Public Enemy type thing back in the day, that type of FUBU, basketball shorts, boots.
Basketball shorts. Do-rag, the Tupac do-rag. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, like Mike said, locker room was tiny, tiny locker room. And there must have been about 10, 12 people. It seemed like it was even cramped more than a usual small locker room in Independence. So Tommy Rich is in a chair, and he has a towel around his neck, and he's sitting in kind of like a position of, maybe tired or lethargy and whatnot. So, and I just happened to be looking, like, because it's a small locker room, there was no other place to look. I was just looking, minding my own business, and I see Mike walking to introduce himself to Tommy Rich, because, just like he said, that's how he was brought up in the business, shake hands. You're polite when you meet somebody, especially somebody that was on TV. And he's walking, and I'm not thinking anything of it, and so he goes, and he stretches out his hand, and he says, Hey, Tommy, my name is Mike. Nice to meet you. So when there's no response, it's like one of those things, you ever been in a car wreck and time just stood still? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. Like, or the record scratches in the club, and everybody turns around like, what the fuck just happened?
And time is just slowing down, brother. And I'm like, and my mind's racing, like, every second my mind's racing. I'm like, what is happening here? Tommy heard him because he's, like, a foot from him, and he's not doing anything. I'm like, oh, geez. So all of a sudden, Tommy goes, I don't give a fuck what your name is. And granted, I do know Tommy Rich impersonation. When he says, I don't care what the fuck your name is, that's when everybody just looks, brother. And we are like, holy smokes. And I see the look on your face. You're like, kind of like, okay, what's going on here? I looked at him like,
fuck you. You ain't about to punk me in front of all these people.
Well, what I'm saying, time stood still, like the first couple nanoseconds, I can see on your face, it's like, wait, this isn't how things work. And then your face turns to the, hey, ain't nobody gonna pump me out. And when Wildfire saw, like, you gotta read the crowd. When he saw it wasn't getting over, all of a sudden he goes, oh man, I'm just joking. That's how I joke. And when I just let go of this breath, when this sigh of relief, because that happens, it's like, oh, take a deep breath. But the look, what was priceless was you gotta. I love it when somebody's performing or somebody's doing something and it's not getting over. You can read on the face like, oh, it's time to switch gears, and that's exactly what had happened. When he realized, like, nobody was laughing and joking about it, I guess that's what he thought. People were going to be like, oh, Tommy. And when nobody laughed and joked, then he switched gears with, oh, man, I'm just joking.
Let me ask you a question. Because that's exactly what he did. He froze up. Well, he didn't freeze. I don't give a fuck what your name is. I'm like, man, you can go fucking blow yourself. So what you didn't say there, too, is I started walking away. I literally didn't say it out loud, but I was like, man, fuck you. And I started walking away. And that's when the boys, everybody that was back there, looked up And you even said it because you looked around at the room because you were in there, and the boys were like, what the fuck is about to happen? And then that's when he said, oh, man, I'm just fucking playing with you, man. My name's Tommy, bro. I'm just fucking with you, bro. And even then, I don't know if you remember, I looked at him, and I waited for him to stick his hand out. I shook his hand and kept moving. And that was,
yeah,
that was
and
the story,
so. I remember the disgust. Like, you seemed disgusted, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just...
he was being an asshole. I mean, he thought he was being funny, and the joke didn't go over.
And it didn't go over. But, dude, it, when I tell you it was from a, like, just a fly on the wall, it seemed like the longest 3 seconds. It couldn't have been more than 2 seconds, dude. But when I tell you, like, my mind was racing, like, okay, what is going to happen? Like, I was just so, like, holy smoke.
What did you think was about to happen?
Man, like, I thought you were gonna either, like, punch him, or you were gonna get in his face, and then he get in his face. You know, it's one of these things where it could have got out of hand quickly. And, dude, I didn't know if you were gonna punch him, or, you know, if you were gonna, like, let it go, or if somebody was going to intervene. But, like, as it's playing out, I'm thinking, oh, man, this shit's about to go down here. We're going to all, like, this one big, because it was, like I said, a locker room was as big as a telephone booth. And I remember it being hot and uncomfortable there, so everybody was, anything could have happened, you know?
What
your name is?
I don't give a fuck what your name is, kid.
Hey, the whole ride home, dude, I don't know if you remember, but, like, we drive a couple miles, and I go, I don't give a fuck what your name is.
That was a wonderful night, because that night is also the night that me and the promoter got into it, because I worked once, and then they came to get me to work again, and that's when I told the promoter, man, I'm not going out there again unless you pay me twice. And then there was some shit that went down, and they because you had got me to booking, and there was some shit that went down where they were like, well, y'all can't bring him next time. And little did they know that I was y'all ride up there, because I was the only one with reliable transportation. So you brokered a new deal to bring me back into the Federation. The shit, I don't even remember the name of this company, but I don't know if you remember all that, but it was an eventful night just from that standpoint. And the irony, you don't even know this, but so when I worked my first match that night, evidently Mr. Wildfire was watching it. He watched that match because he was,
oh,
I don't think,
okay.
I never told you this part of the story. He was the one, what happened was they had too many heels and they had extra heels and faces. They had more heels than they had faces. So he was like, he watched the match and he told Tim, the promoter, he's like, give me that kid against my boy. So that's how I ended up working twice. And that's when I was like, that's fine. We getting paid double, because I mean I committed to one, and that's
right.
With a bad blood. But what's funny is he after that happened, I don't know if he felt I'd never know this. And I guarantee you, if you were to ask Tommy Rich this story, he would never remember it. He'd be like,
I'm sure.
I don't know who those two boys are. They made that bullshit up.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't remember it. Yeah.
And then we got people in that locker room that are dead now, so they would never remember it. Because didn't that promoter die? Didn't you tell me that?
Oh, yeah. I think she... Well, like, okay.
His wife that gave you a blowjob.
Oh, dude, are you serious? Edit. Are you... Oh, my God.
That was a joke, man. That was a joke.
That was a joke.
I mean,
there was people in the room, too. And so I'm snickering because, you know, I'm an idiot. And, you know, she's doing what she has to do. No, but, you know, it was like, these 90s, late 90s independence, bro. It was like you had a money man, then you had the promoter. So I believe they were.
That's what it was. They got mad.
They were somebody was promoting and the other person was
The dude who ran that rec center, that's who got mad. Because I remember when I went in to get paid, I was like, Tim was there and he gave me my money. They didn't even give me an envelope. Yeah. He just gave me the cash. And I was like, this isn't what you told me you were going to give me. And Tim was like, oh yeah, I did tell you that when Tommy pulled you to the side. I was like, so, and the money dude was right there. Like the guy who ran the rec center.
Right.
And he was like, what is he talking about? And I said, I worked twice. That's what I'm talking about. Now, and I'm not trying to come across as an asshole. This is what happened. Like, and what pissed me off is you and Casey were friends of mine. They told you two a completely different version. So y'all are coming to me like, you know, what, why did you do this? And why we just got, I'm like, dude, I didn't do anything. The dude told me he was going to pay me twice if I worked twice. All I did was went out there and do what they told me to do based on their telling me they're going to pay me twice. We just drove 7 hours to fucking bumfuck Egypt, Alabama. Of course I'm going to try to get paid twice if I can. You want me to work twice? Pay me twice. And they had like pitted us against each other. Cause I remember you and Casey were kind of mad at me at the time.
Well, the thing was, just like you said, you know, we were under the impression the story was different, but the thing is, at the end of the day, you were not the kind of guy, I was not the kind of guy, Casey was not the kind of guy that were, hey, we just want to be on the card. You know, you don't have to pay us. You know, that kind of old deal. Man, we had expenses, dude, like gas and food, bro, and we're risking our necks out here. You know, it's not UNICEF. You know, we wanted to do it. We were doing it because we loved it, but we need to get paid for it. You know,
I'm 7 hours from New Orleans.
Seven hours.
You're eight and a half hours from Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were about nine hours from Lafayette, dude. So it wasn't one of these things where we were like, oh man, don't say anything because we're not gonna get booked. No, man, if you get your money, dude. I mean, that's just common sense, bro. Get your money, dude.
Yeah,
don't let anybody screw you.
They just told you, and they gave you and Casey some alternative facts.
Yeah, but I mean, five minutes down the road, dude, and we got our stories straight. You know, like we figured out what had happened. It was eventful to say the least, bro. Especially,
it was damn eventful,
especially if Minister Society and Wildfire Tom and Rich hooked it up, you know what I mean? You want to get it on, you want to hook it up. So, it was awesome, dude.
I wasn't going to fight the dude, but he wasn't about to punk me in front of everybody. But, you know, I give him credit. He did, and this is no disrespect to Tommy Rich, but he would have deserved it if somebody would have slapped him. Cause he was just trying to pull a rib. I'll say that, but it did. He realized it like right away. Nobody was going with it. Everybody turned around like, shit, they're about to
fight. Nobody was biting it. Yeah. 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 Nobody bit on it, dude. Nobody popped. Nobody went, it was just this awkward silence.
I'm telling you, the album screeched.
Awkward silence, bro. But, foo-boo, man.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a gimmick when I walked up to him. I wasn't. We were just getting there.
In my mind. No, but, man, I want to say, like, man, in my little mind, I have you in gimmick, but.
Nah, man. I think,
well, why would he be slumped on over the chin?
We were just getting to the building and whatnot. He just happened to be sitting down in there. And like, I think the important part for people to know is when this room is so small, it's literally like 5 feet wide by 10 feet long, that when you walk in, you can't just avoid someone. If you're going to walk through that room, where you're walking through, you're going to make, you know, you're going to see someone, you got to greet them. So it wasn't like I was going out of my way to like, hey, Tommy, how are you? No, it was, I had no choice. I was walking past him. He just happened to be sitting within, you know, arm's length from me. And I didn't want to be labeled the young prick who didn't respect his elders.
So that's why I did what I did, but neither here nor there. So,
and you know, like, man, I don't know how many of your listeners understand that, man, the wrestling is so, I don't know how it is now, but it was so strange. Like, it was so filled with these little, how can I put it? Little traditions that if you did one, but you didn't do the other, you know, it was just a whole different world there. And so for a while, you're going to kind of be, it's not like the quote unquote real world. You know, when you go to work, I doubt if you go up to every single person and shake hands,
right,
and introduce yourself to them, you know,
right.
But that's what they were doing in the late 90s, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not so, going to work shaking hands with everyone you walk past. But I feel like especially, well, when you're in a dressing room for sure, that's very small and you're bumping into these people all night, you shake their hand. Hey, Mike, nice to meet you. John, okay, good. And that's it. You don't have to talk to the person all night, but you greet them politely. So, DB, I would get you to tell people where to find you on Twitter, but you don't do Twitter and Facebook. So,
Can't find me ever.
There's that. Yeah, he's hiding. Yeah.
I don't want anybody to find me. I don't want anybody to find me, especially Tommy Rich after he hears this.
All right, that was my old buddy Sassy Vegas from the Indies. Used to take trips with him back in the day in the late 90s. And there you have it. You heard his version of the story. And as you can hear, it wasn't much, you know, it was basically the same as mine. But he was an eyewitness to the encounter between myself and Tommy Wildfire Rich, former NWA World Champion. I've got nothing against Tommy Rich, by the way. I'm just letting you know something that happened back in the day. Let's move to the show close, guys. So I said it. We got a promo of the week. And without any further ado, Doc and Harper are here. They haven't seen this. They're only listening to it. This is Dr. D. David Schultz. This is in the WWF. Piper actually is in this promo, although I cut the part off that Piper is on. It's with Mean Gene. And I'm assuming this is right around the time they, Dr. D first came to WWF. So listen in. The audio is not great, but here it is.
There's something in the works when it comes to Rowdy Roddy Piper and Dr. David Schultz.
You know, the first thing that got the doctor upset, got him terribly upset, when I come up north, I found out that Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, two boys from where I come from, down south, they should be in the cotton field, picking cotton, pulling a cotton sack. They shouldn't have no championship belts around their waist. You know, where I come from, we took boys like that, and we tied them up, and we whooped them like dogs. We whooped them, and when we got through, whooping them, they do right from wrong. Now, you two boys, you come on out here and bring them two belts, and whenever we tie you up there and we take them belts away from you, we're gonna whoop you like two dogs. Cause my mama told me a long time ago, baby, said, David, don't you ever trust nobody with lips over 2 inches thick and skin darker than mine. And I've always took her advice, and that's all I've got to say about it. I'm still terribly upset.
Hopper, you first.
I could kind of barely hear it.
That's, okay.
That was
shit. Bad.
Okay. What's wrong with you?
It's the quality of it. I didn't. Hopper, Doc, could you make it out?
Well, I heard enough for him to say that he didn't trust anybody with thick lips and skin darker than his and whooping people till they know right from wrong. And
God, that's what he said?
Yes.
Yeah, and he said that.
He said tie them up and whip them until they know right from wrong.
Well, you missed the first thing he said. The first thing
picking
he said
cotton.
Was they need to be out in the fields picking cotton, and then they also need to have a cotton sack. Like, goddamn, dude. Seriously? Anyway, there's your promo of the week. Fuck.
Well, that's okay, so here's the thing. That's stiff. Is it too far?
It's wrestling.
That's right.
He's being a heel. I don't know what you... I don't know. I mean, it's stiff. It's pretty brutal when you listen to it in 2017. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's being a heel. Hell, Rick told a man where he's from, he doesn't wrestle his kind. His kind shining his shoes and you know, taking out his trash. It's wrestling. What do we want? Do we want to draw heat? Do we want to generate some heat, Doc, or do we want to do this panty any bullshit we would see every Monday and Tuesday if we watched
it? I told you in some random BTT show like a year and a half ago, and Harper agreed with me. If I was going to pay my hard-earned money to go to a wrestling show, I'd want there at least to be a 50-50 chance that this shit breaks out in a riot. There ain't no way you can have too much heat. Wait a year. Wait till the gangsters show up in Smoky Mountain. That's the kind of heat I like. Let's make it so uncomfortable that everybody in there is not sure if we need to become armed or not. That's the kind of environment wrestling ought to happen in.
I hear you, man.
All right, here's the thing. Every wrestling event that's held shouldn't have air conditioning in it. Let's make it hot. Let's make it uncomfortable. No. That's when people get fired up.
I don't know about that. Harper.
Oh, you're old and soft. That's what led you out of the ring early, was that you were too soft to take any real bumps and make any real money.
All right. Harper, do you want to plug WrestleCade November the 23rd? Did Harper go take a piss?
Oh, God.
He probably took
Wait, damn it. I'm here.
Okay. You want to go? You want to plug WrestleCade?
Go ahead, plug it. I dare
November
you.
November 23rd, WrestleKade. Hopper's going to be there, but he wants me to plug it. Hopper, any word on the next Wildcat show, or it's a holiday time? Okay.
I could tell you.
I hear that. So,
are you going to WrestleKade, pal?
Who is you? Define. Goddamn, pal, pronouns.
Menace.
No, I will not be there.
All the fucking Smoky Mountain guys are going to be there. JJ's going to be there.
It's great. Nobody's paying me to be there, so, I mean, I'm not going to be there. Not that I feel like I should be there. I mean,
Sam's going to ride with us.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
I hope they got a CD player in the fucking car. I want to hear that CD.
Well, Sam, has Sam already pulled this one on you where he's walking around in the back and he's got a jar full of, like, peanuts and he goes, you want a handful of my nuts? Has he pulled that one on you yet? He thinks that's the funniest thing on the planet. He does. Walks up to you with a jar of peanuts. Would you like a handful of my nuts? No, thank you, Sam.
I'm going to do that at the next show to him and see what it does.
See if he no-sells
it. You better watch out. It's probably how he got Baby Doll, and if you keep doing it, you might end up with Baby Doll.
That's nice.
Okay, let's keep it moving and close this show out. Once again, become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. If you click the Shop Now button, it'll bring you to the Pro Wrestling Tee store. And last but not least, follow us on Twitter @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hard Body Harper is at CJH. Who dat? And check out my friends, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Just search the WPAN wherever you get your podcast from. Lots of old school stuff they're doing lately, and not just new school stuff. So that's that. That's all I got. Harper, hit the tagline and take us home this week.
Book it, bitch.
Welcome to world-class championship wrestling from the world-famed Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you world-class championship wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.